It's we're Leviticus 15, verse 1. Me read.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his uncleanness. Every bed whereon he lieth that hath the issue is unclean, and everything whereon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that sitteth on anything whereon he sat that hath the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that toucheth the flesh of him that hath the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And what saddle soever he rideth upon that hath the issue shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth anything that was under him shall be unclean until the even. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And whomsoever he toucheth that hath the issue, and hath not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And the vessel of earth that he toucheth, which hath the issue, shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take to him 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto the priest. And the priest shall offer them, the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. And if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all his flesh in water, and be unclean until the even. And every garment and every skin whereon is the seed of copulation shall be washed with water, and be unclean until the even. The woman also with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water, and be unclean until the even. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she set upon shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed, or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the even. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the eighth day she shall take unto her 2 turtles, or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. Thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness, when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law of him that hath an issue, and of him whose seed goeth from him, and is defiled therewith, and of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that hath an issue, of the man and of the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean.
It seemed like people didn't go too long with being clean. You know, you had the women were unclean for half a month.
Yeah.
And then you got every day they'd make love, they were unclean until the evening. People were just going around.
No, that doesn't mean that.
What means it?
It means that if the act of copulation, if the seed was shed on both the man and the woman, they were both unclean.
Well, it kind of gets all over you.
Wow. Yeah. What they call, what the scriptures call leprosy, is what we've studied in 13 and 14, is a rising or a discoloration of the skin. And leprosy wasn't disease, it was something that was unclean, and therefore it wasn't healed, it was cleansed. Now, last night I said that leprosy was symbolic of heresy. But the heresies are, we left off an extremely important one that I need to talk about. And that is murmuring. Let's go to Numbers 12. Now remember, we're still looking at the leprosy, and then I want to clear this one point up, and then we'll go into what we just read about what the issues mean, because it's fascinating. John Reed 12, 1 through 10, I think.
Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. I don't see a thing. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth.
And the word meek there is the word which is better translated abandoned.
Abandoned by who?
He abandoned himself. He never took thought of himself or for himself,
okay,
about himself in any dimension. He was abandoned.
And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed.
Keep going.
And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days?
Let you understand?
Yeah, it was like, if she had offended her father,
right,
she'd be out 7 days. Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran.
Okay, so what was the The heresy.
Yes, this is the link right here.
The heresy was murmuring, and the murmuring was the same as Korah's rebellion, except in Korah, in chapter 19, they didn't get leprosy, they were killed. And so...
But was there a difference in what they did?
I don't know what you mean. Maybe what Korah did and what...
Why did these people get killed?
Yeah, I mean, in...
Between Korah and Miriam.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds very much like what they did with the same thing.
Well, they did a similar thing, but we...
One was uncleanness and one was...
One was death.
Yeah.
It was only by God's grace that this wasn't death.
Moses don't think prayed for any of those Korah people.
Right. That's Moses...
That was their problem.
Moses... but my, hear me. Don't let's not minor on the minors. The act of heresy is by its nature an act of rebellion. Mm-hmm. If I say something to you, and that's the, I mean, and I don't mean to be, I want us all to hear this. If I say something to you that you think is, how can I talk about this?
Weird. Wrong.
Yeah, but it's more than that. It's that. Let's go. Let's look at Korah's rebellion. Numbers 19. And then we'll talk. I mean 16.
Say, when you say something to us, do you mean in a
about doctrine
or about what?
Spiritual matters?
Okay.
Read it. Larry.
Now Korah, the son of Issachar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said to them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him."
Okay, well, that's enough. Then you know what happened. Those, all of them got killed.
It is the same kind of deal.
The difference in one simple sense, it's the Lord's grace. In another sense, it's to show us something. The act of rebellion or the act of murmuring is, in God's eyes, horrendous. I mean, it's deserving of instant death. In the case of Miriam and Aaron, the act was precipitated, by the fact that he married an Ethiopian, which they got all bent out of shape about. In this case, it was an act of simply saying, you know, isn't God among all of us? He can speak, you know, I know the doctrine just as well as Moses, or something of this nature. But the reason that Miriam became leprous and Korah's rebellion, they were killed, was to show us something. And that tie-in is what we studied in leprosy last night. The fact that the leprosy is by nature indicative of heresy, and by nature it's a spiritual phenomenon, and you will be outside the camp once you take that action. And it's only by God's grace that you're not killed. Mm-hmm. But being outside the camp offers the opportunity to return. Do you understand the difference? And he simply, I mean, I don't know how many times that if we had been as Moses, we would have all, the body would have been destroyed. You individually would have been destroyed. Now this is part and parcel of beginning to understand what the fear of God means. If I, Larry used to say something all the time, and he said, but he never worked that way because he was still screaming yell. But he'd say, I may not understand it, but I've prayed to God that if Ole's wrong, that God's going to destroy him.
I say that all the time.
You said it hundreds of times.
No.
No,
it's not a nice
thing.
Twice.
No, more than twice. But anyway, that's fine. That is the prop. That is the act of submission.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I did say it hundreds of times. Would you like to talk to thousands?
But the act of saying, Ole, you're full of shit. God is in me just as much as he is in you, is the act of heresy. And in that, you are leprous, and you will be outside the camp, and it's only by the grace of God that the earth isn't opened up and you're swallowed. Now, do you understand how much that puts on me? I don't welcome it.
Yeah, it's because God has given us teachers after his own heart.
And well, that's one of the things we're going to study. Because, I mean, it ties directly into issues in a minute. But, I mean,
yeah, I can personally relate to this.
I hope so. I can personally relate to it with you also. I did not receive the doctrine by man. Nobody taught it to me. I didn't learn it in any books. It was not learned line upon line, precept upon precept. It was given by the revelation of God, and I can say that equally with Paul in Galatians 1. And when you murmur against me, you are not murmuring against me. You're murmuring against God, no matter how arrogant you think that sounds. So in the first place, the primary aspect, and it's interesting, in the one case of leprosy, it was with regard to behavior, i.e. marrying an Ethiopian. In the other case, with regard to Korah, it was with regard to spiritual matters.
Now, would you define precisely what murmuring is?
Complaining.
But that's different from questioning what
you're saying. Well, of course, I welcome, I want to challenge you to question. But when you explode in a state of rebellion, you're in deep shit.
It's like the whole thing with questioning is that it's, you know, it's brought into the forum to be worked out, whereas the murmuring is when you...
Well, it's not only you do it, not only you do it, I mean, especially it's bad is when you do it outside, you know, when you do it. But
not openly.
But even if you do it openly, the progress of it is for you to learn the fear of God through that. Because it's only at the point of the rebellion, it's only God's grace that the earth doesn't open up under your feet and the earth swallow you. Now, as long as you begin to see that, then the fear of God can permeate your being and you'll begin to understand instead of having the emotional response. Okay, now that's... So heresy, the primary act of heresy is the act of rebellion. Is the typology that's connected with leprosy. Does everybody understand?
Yeah, this thing with Miriam makes the direct connection rather than just, you know, thinking, well, it seems like it ought to mean heresy, I mean, there it is. She was in heresy and she got leprosy.
Okay, now the issue, the area of the issues that we've just read in Leviticus 15 are much more subtle. It's much more difficult to understand. And let me see if I can open it up. The human body is to be looked at to see spiritual truth. We've seen it over and over and over again with functioning, with regard to the gifts of the Spirit, with the ministries, with all of these things. The human body is designed to do it's designed to take in food, and it's to discharge waste. And you discharge waste through perspiration, through urination, and through feces.
And breathing.
Exhaling. Except for a woman. A woman is designed to do one other thing, because it's the perfect type of the bride in the natural. A woman is designed to go through a menstrual cycle monthly. Now, there's great debate in the Talmud about what issue means, because it's not clearly defined. In some cases, they even say issue is diarrhea. The word issue with regard to there is primarily connected with genital functions of both male and female, and it's both menstrual, which is considered unclean. It's not as a normal you weren't unclean if you urinated. You weren't unclean if you had a bowel movement. You weren't unclean if you exhaled air. You weren't unclean if you perspired. You were only unclean if the woman bled, if a man ejaculated without a woman, or not inside a woman, and if you had any running from another place. You weren't unclean if your nose ran, by the way. That's another one. But if you had any sores on your body that oozed, then spiritually what was happening is that, and it's not called a disease either, it's clean or unclean. Spiritually what was happening is that excesses within the body are being released in an improper place. Now, there's great debate in the Talmud, and I'm not trying to, but I'm going to try to simplify it down to one singular issue. And that is that all of the issues signify sloth, signify you damning, you not prophesying. And therefore, the excesses or the process has to sneak out someplace else besides the natural function.
It's like the idea of a woman would be that she would be pregnant, right?
Right.
In other words, continually having this situation where the everything was working to bring forth a child all the time.
Amen. And that's not
pregnant for all
right. That she was continually pregnant from the time of her. Not, forget it. I mean, don't take it to the natural now. The woman is designed to be continually pregnant so that she would never bleed.
Or nursing, continually nursing.
And she would also be continually nursing.
Yeah, you nurse for 3 years before you wean them.
Normal.
Hmm?
If you're nursing, you don't have as normally.
You don't menstruate if you're
nursing. You don't menstruate normally.
That's right, I understand. But, you understand? Functions designed to show forth spiritual truth. The fact that a woman bleeds in her menstrual cycle is indicative that the body, the bride, will always be in a state of confession, will always be in a state of needing the blood. Now,
bringing forth fruit.
Right. The idea of, how can I say it? The idea of issues I said it's sloth, it's lack of prophecy, but primary, another way of saying it's backsliding. It's turning from faith into something other than faith. Faith demands continual action, continually outward expression. It's the proper use of all of the functions within the body. No faith, backsliding, damming up, denying, requires that those things that God has placed inside you be released through some other orifice or you'd explode. So therefore, the issue coming from an unnatural place is the indicator that you have not been in a position of openness, of prophesying, of all of those things. Now that's the meaning of issue and what we've just read in Leviticus 15.
What would a spiritual issue be? I mean, what's the, you know, like the, I mean, what
heresy.
A heresy? I mean, what are we talking about as far as, I mean, I understand the natural.
Okay, what happens the spiritual issue is, if I prophesy continually, then it's as though I'm, you know, it's because I'm continually taking in spiritual food, just as the body continually takes in natural food. It takes what it's needed for the growth and maintenance of the body. It takes the excess or that which is not exactly right, and it's expelled through the expelling process of exhaling, of perspiration, of
right.
urine, and of feces. Okay? If I am in a position of prophesying in the spirit, and I continually prophesy, then what will come forth is life.
Right.
If I try to hold it, what comes forth is bitterness, wrath, anger, greed. I mean, all of the things, they come forth. Prophesying has been prostituted because it's been held. And that's the symbolism of the issue.
In this body?
Yeah.
Well, anywhere.
Anywhere.
Well, I was thinking more like it would be, you know, if I had something to say in here and didn't say it and went out and said it someplace else, some inappropriate place, or, I mean, is that...
That's the type of it too. It's all. But it's.
Or set it to myself, and it just rattle around. And
yeah, but it comes out. Sale. It comes out in something other than life. It comes out in something that's bitter. That's. pussy. You know. I mean. It's not at the proper time and the proper place. Your function is to prophesy. As wine bubbles forth, you bubble. You just be. But when you judge, hold in, you know, wait for the right time, all the other ridiculous things that you've been taught to do since childhood, then an issue will come forth and it will be unclean.
Yeah.
And you will be unclean.
It's okay.
But at that process is called backsliding.
The menstrual flow and semen and stuff like that, when it's not going to create something, then it's just a bunch of yucky stuff. I mean, if, you know,
right.
It's nothing. It's worthless. Not unclean.
No, right. Now, we haven't even begun. This is all I'm going to say to you about issues tonight. I mean, we can talk about it, and I'll show you some other stuff in the scriptures, because it's going to take us a lifetime to see what this means deeper and deeper in our being.
Was Jesus talking about this when he said it's not what comes out of a man or goeth into a man that defiles him, it's what comes
out of
him? Like stating this general principle of Leviticus.
Yeah. Let's go a couple places. Matthew 8. No, let's wait a minute. Let me think. No, let's go to Luke 8.
Yeah, I have somewhat to say.
Say on.
Okay. you know, when we were talking about the the rebellion stuff and going on about that, it made me feel real uncomfortable. And uncomfortable in the sense that, you know, that that's what was happening. You know, there was rebellion in me, but it's still in my, and feeling uncomfortable made me feel, you know, angry again, as though, you know, as though you're saying, I mean, what you're saying was true, but it, but that was, you know, it made me feel like, you know, well, I can't, you know, there's no justification in me for it. I mean, it was, that's the facts, and I'm guilty of that. But it also made me feel like that, or I wanted to say that, well, you're just blaming me, you know, or something like that, and which is not, that's not the case, but it still made me, you know, I felt those same kinds of things going on. And
I could feel that you felt them.
Well, no, I wasn't mad. I'm not mad.
No, I understand.
I only recognize that's, you know, it's the kind of thing that makes me feel like things should be different, or, you know, that could have been. What I recognize is that's what I'm going to keep. I feel like that's my potential, is to be in that place.
Yeah, but the reason it's there is so that you will learn the fear of God.
I believe that, yeah.
Well, what will happen when you are either in these positions, either in the position of leprosy or with an issue, spiritually, you are unclean and you're outside the camp. If you think of yourself as clean outside the camp, then you will look back at the body and you will say, that's not for me. I don't belong there. Mm-hmm. Now, that God uses that, but that's the process that will automatically happen. If you are in a spiritual state of uncleanliness, and at that point you're taking a stand and believing you're clean or justified, you will automatically go into a point of seeing, well, I don't know about those people.
Well,
that's not for me.
That's the different instant.
Well, I'm just saying it's happened thousands of times.
Yeah, it did all the things that I couldn't hear.
Amen. Luke 8:41. There's an interesting tie-in here. Let's read Luke 8, verse 41 through the end of the chapter. Can I read? What?
This is wild stuff.
You never thought this kind of stuff was in Leviticus, did you?
No.
Spiritual
stuff. In Leviticus. I think it's, you know, it just seems more apropos than anything. Are more, you know, pertinent to your everyday existence than anything we've read, almost. Yeah.
Luke 8, verse 41.
Luke 8:41.
Yeah. And now, behold, let me set the scene here. He has just cast out the demons that. Into the bunch of the pigs, and they went down the, he just quieted a storm, and he just defined his true kin, and all these kind of stuff. Notice the tie-in. The tie-in is with him raising somebody from the dead. So.
And behold, there came a certain man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue.
Remember what that means.
He's the angel of the synagogue?
No. He was a ruler. Remember, there were three rulers. There was the angel, and there were three rulers.
Oh.
I don't want, anyway, and this was the synagogue in Galilee, near this town of Gadara.
Okay. He's like an elder or something.
Yeah.
And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any.
Now the issue, this is specifically defined in what we've just read.
Right.
She had an unnatural issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this still isn't that uncommon. I mean, they don't bleed like, you know, like you do on your main, but it's a continual spotting or continual bleeding, and it's been going on for 12 years.
Okay. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched.
Well, it was healed, dried up. Staunched means dried up.
And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me."
Now the word virtue is the word, in the Greek it's dunamis.
Power.
And it's the word that's translated mostly as power, but not power like dynamite power. It's power like efficacy or ability, or it's that which caused him to be who he was. Now, before we go on, let's go over to Luke 6. Let me just show you one thing real quickly. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Then he goes and names the apostles. And then verse 17, and he came down with them, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for they were not virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Now the virtue coming out of is, it's the same kind, the power that Jesus walked in, the power of the Holy Spirit. And whenever dunamis is mentioned as virtue or as power, it's that power of the Holy Spirit which is revealed in the possessor's emptying of himself. That's what kenosis, or the whole. So as you empty yourself, then the Holy Spirit has to come in. Now, that's why Jesus perceived power or virtue leaving him. Because as he was walking through the crowd, then he had a sensory perception. His senses had been exercised to such a degree that he could perceive that leaving from the one woman touching. Now, as we've said, that remember when we read the Shema, that that he had to have on this particular garment, and there was a blue ribbon around the garment, and the blue ribbon stood for the law, and it was, and as the woman touched the hem of his garment, she touched, in that touching, she in effect acknowledged in the spirit, she acknowledged that he was the fulfillment of the law, he was Messiah.
Amen.
And in that touching, then virtue or dunamis proceeded from her, from him to her to heal, and he perceived it. She became in effect the weaker vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And in that weakness, the power had to flow.
Oh, that, yeah.
Now that's why his strength in you is always revealed in your emptying self or weakness. Anytime you take a stand, you have damned the power.
Right.
I don't care what the stand is on. And anytime you take the stand, then you know, Jesus is of none effect. The Holy Spirit can't operate.
That's a great picture there, you know, of the woman, the issue being healed by her acknowledgement that Christ had fulfilled the law.
Amen.
You
know? Amen. Now, so automatically, now I want you to see, though, now he's now unclean by the law for 7 days because the woman touched him.
Okay.
Now, he's going to get more unclean.
And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately.
Amen.
And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace.
Now if we could only, when we take communion, if we could only see properly, then every time we eat the bread and drink the wine, we'd be touching the hem of his garment. Because we'd do it in, we'd totally discern the Lord's body. We would see nothing of self.
Amen.
And by that act, his power would have to flow. And all issues and all other whatever is healed.
Yeah.
It's made whole, it's made clean.
This is the part of the law that he fulfills to make clean.
Amen.
This is, you know, the other things were rules and the things we talked about. That this
right.
Is,
right.
It's every part of it, something about him.
Amen.
Being the fulfillment.
He's remember in Leviticus, we're dissecting Jesus.
Okay. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master.
Okay, now it's taken some time for him to get from where he was first approached. And saying the ruler's daughter is near death, the daughter's 12 years old, the woman had an issue of blood 12 years old. I don't know if we want to make too much of that, but now, so by the time he got there, maybe a day or 2 days or whatever, but the point is, now the woman, the guy comes out from the house and said, the woman's dead, don't bother us. You didn't get here quick enough.
Yeah. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise.
Hallelujah.
And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, notice, the next thing that happens, then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. A mystical thing had happened at this point. The disciples had seen the fullness. But I'm not sure, but in all three accounts of this story in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all three connect this woman being healed of the issue in the midst of him traveling from point A to point D,
yeah.
B to raise the dead.
A little story.
Right, and it's almost as though, I mean, he's trying to show us this, the fact that she had an issue was in itself deserving of death under the law. She was outside the camp. She was as good as dead. Because she'd had an issue for 12 years, she was in a continual state of uncleanliness. So as far as the people, her family, her associates were concerned, she was shunned. She could not partake of the activities. She was as good as dead.
No Passover.
No Passover, none of the feasts.
So she really shouldn't have been out, you know, mingling with this crowd. And
by law, she should have been in a particular room in a particular house, isolated, sort of like quarantine.
She was trembling when they...
Yeah, the idea that she would go and touch somebody would be...
Right.
Controversial. She gave her a ticket.
Okay? Now, but I want you to see that the promise, that fundamentally that this position of issues is has to do with the body not fulfilling its right function. And therefore, that which God has given us is coming through and because it's coming through the crap, it comes out as an unclean issue. It's not a natural function. It's not a natural state. So in one sense, the idea of having an issue is the state of being in a backslidden. I mean, backslidden because it's not fulfilling. You've turned, if you will. Okay, now let's go to Jeremiah 3. And this the rabbis connect with issues, by the way. Jeremiah 3, in the Talmud and in the Midrash. Is everybody understanding? Mm-hmm. Well, it's let's read the whole chapter really is we need to read. Pete, you feel like reading?
They say if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with.
Now, I love that one. Mm. Not go look at the tree that you had a lover under. Go look at the trees and tell me which one you haven't had a lover under. Okay. We don't get to the part that is connected with issues for a while, but I want us to read the whole chapter.
In the ways hast thou sat for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain.
Remember, the showers are always indicative of revelation, and the latter rain, the word means the clarity or eloquence of a perfectly cast bell. It's so that you would hear and understand with perfect clarity, and that's what the latter rain means.
And thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed.
In other words, you don't even know what to be ashamed for.
Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done?
This section is what is connected with issues.
She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah.
Okay. Backsliding is in the nature of the beast. I mean, it's part of the test. Everybody will go through a stage of what God calls backsliding. What you and I call backsliding is 10,000 million degrees more serious than what God calls backsliding.
Well, the opposite.
Huh?
Mm. What God calls backsliding is 10,000 million degrees more serious than what we call backsliding.
Well, right? No, I'm talking about perception. Our perception of what backsliding is something way out there. You know,
it's like it has to be 10 orders of magnitude greater before we can even see it.
Right, but God sees it as backsliding, just that instantaneous.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Now, so backsliding is part, I mean, don't be satisfied with it, but it's going to happen. But to justify yourself in the state of backsliding is that's what it means when you take the stand. Okay? Now let's see what, again, this connects it with issues.
Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come into mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more.
Well, anyway, that's enough.
So what's the tie-in with issues?
Well, that backsliding.
I mean, how is it tied in?
Didn't I just go through that?
It's an unnatural issue. It's not the... It's
the fact that you justify yourself in the position of backsliding is seen from God's standpoint as the issue.
In other words, this chapter here is associated with...
Right, in the Talmud.
...with the issue stuff in Leviticus.
Right.
So that's the tie-in.
Yeah. You said even rabbis associated.
Yeah. Right.
Is it the whole chapter?
Yeah. No, it's just 12 through 16. Remember what it means to play the harlot. It means to go, from God's standpoint, you're married to another. You're married to God. It's only God that is going to give you sustenance. It's only God that's going to give you happiness. It's only God that's going to give you joy. You look to Him and Him exclusively for all things that sustain you. When you go elsewhere for things to sustain you, even if you go, you know, and for what the world says the natural things to do, God says you're committing adultery and fornication. If you go anywhere other than the Father, to have any aspect of your sustenance, then you're by definition committing adultery and fornication.
It's like,
now, in fornication, it's sort of when you're sort of, the difference between fornication and adultery, in one sense, it's all adultery because you've been married to another from the beginning. But fornication is the point in time in which you don't know you're married, and adultery comes in the point in time in which you know you're married. And the penalties, adultery is death. Fornication is something less than death.
I was thinking about when they go and make love with these gods, you know, on the high places, because the gods don't really exist, then it's like they're shedding their seed, you know, it's like an issue of seed or something like that that makes it unclean, because it's like they're making love with nothing, you know, a non-entity, which they think is alive.
There's no opportunity for life to come forth.
So, like when Jesus said that if you look upon lust, and then you commit adultery. It's like if you entertain those thoughts of going out and finding, you know, other sustenance, that's the same thing.
It's doing it.
That's doing it.
That's right.
So that's why he said that. It's like these, you know, you play the harlot, and now he's saying if you entertain those thoughts.
You played the harlot.
You played the harlot.
Amen. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Well, see, when you begin to understand these things, then you can begin to understand the grace of God. Otherwise,
the focus on him that he requires is just, I mean, it's just. Until we get into some of this, you don't even realize it. I mean, well, just how intense it means to have your eyes upon him, what that means. I mean, it just doesn't leave room for, I mean, he, just looking out is like what the thing of shedding your seed, because it's not bringing forth life. It's something less than that. Everything about you that your total being concentrated on him is to bring forth life. And
now, it's interesting to note that I can't remember if this is in the scriptures or in the Talmud. I'm starting to get them confused. But,
no.
I know, I didn't erase that out of the tape.
Why out?
But when the nation of Israel was standing in Exodus 19 before Mount Sinai and they heard the law, then it says that there was no one among them who had an issue, who had palsy, who had any diseases. In other words, at the point of their hearing, they were perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's the same as in you and I. At the point of hearing, we're perfect.
That's right. Yeah.
There was something else that happened there too, that they weren't supposed to you know, go in unto their wives or anything
before. For 3 days, right.
And it's just like God was saying, for a moment here, let's suspend the physical shadow and just take
a
look at the reality of what's happening up here on the mountain.
Right.
And see the, you know, see what it all means.
Right. And so that's why I like that song so much, where John said, you know, that I'm perfect from the moment that he sees me, because that
the moment that you know that God sees you,
right, then there's, you know, then you're all those things are gone.
It's neat that in Jeremiah 3 it starts off talking about the latter rain.
Now the other thing about one of the things I never understood in the scriptures when it talks about feeble knees and hands falling down and all that jazz, well, that's the position that the Talmud sees the people anytime they're in the state of separation. In other words, if they've been separated from the body for being in a state of uncleanness through the act of, I mean, through either the issues or leprosy, then when they spiritually they have feeble knees and their hands are hanging down. I mean, that's what it's called. Okay, now let's look at Hebrews 12 verse 12.
Yeah, being cut off, you know, even if it was just an everyday kind of a thing, it's still it was a bad deal.
Amen.
Being separated out. And
well, let's even go further than that. Let's go further than that. In addition, the reason that uncleanness, the definition that you are unclean at that moment, and it's not diseased, so it doesn't require healing, it's unclean for the reason that we've talked about, you know, in a very real sense, is the instrument that God uses for chastising. Okay? Okay. So, let's let's think about that. Now let's begin to think of a new way of, you know, I've always told you that whenever you, anything that takes place that you perceive as negative to your being is chastisement. Punishment can't exist anymore because that was taken care of at the cross, and there's no more reward punishment, and he that is dead is freed from sin, etc. But you're not freed from chastisement. For Christ, even though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. So he was chastised. Now, so that's that plus all of the stuff that we've seen and learned and understood in the Old Testament, the processes that Abraham has gone through and Moses and all of these things. Let's look at it differently now. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse... Well, I won't go through it. But you remember all of the stuff that nobody likes about mockings and scourgings and being sawed in half and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All the, in verse 39, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for, or the word huper in the Greek, it means instead of, who instead of the joy that was set before him, the joy on the day when he was transfigured, endured the cross, despising the shame. Boy, that's an incredible thing, when you can begin to despise the shame.
Yeah.
Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now here's the part. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. In other words, that which has been declared unclean be whacked forever. But rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now that, the root of bitterness, I think, is speaking specifically with regard to the issues, because bitterness, you know, that's the unnatural act of expression.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough. We're caught up now. But think on these things. We have all kinds of, I mean, we could study, for instance, every place in the Scripture where issues are talked about, and, you know, every place where leprosy is talked about, but I think you have enough meat to chew on for a while.
Yeah, this is different than the other place where it talks about laying a stumbling block, you know, that we're causing them to stumble and be out of the way. This defiled is something that you could, it's very much like what you're talking about, the some things that you can be cleansed of.
Amen. Okay.
Sounds like if you're at a point where you say I deserve the chastisement, it's chastisement's over with.
That's right. At the point of time that you see that God is doing it and that you deserve it, then its function for being done is finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Some of us get chastised.
I never have since I've been here. The sin dressing.
I had a moment of something earlier, I participated in a by myself brainstorming session, which I guess that there's no such thing as a brain farting session, about what I'm going to do about
it. It's called a monologue.
Yeah, a monologue about career stuff. And then I started thinking, I went through this whole thing, thought, well, now the first thing I tried to do, you know, before I even left Maine, on the first kinds of resumes and things I sent out, where I thought I would like to get into, to, you know, office leasing with a company like Trammell Crow or Vanco or somebody, Manager or Swearingen or Henry Miller or something. So I sent resumes to all those kind of people. And, you know, because I thought, you know, my experience would fit in with that a little bit. And, but then, I, you know, I don't know, I got tired of having a brain farting session and because I was all weird and, you know, I was having an issue or something. So I sat down and I thought I would read Psalms, because lately, that's one thing that's happened that's real neat is, you know, lately when I get bent out of shape, I'll start reading Psalms and I mean, it's come alive. But, and I read in Psalm 4 here, it says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." And I was getting juiced up because I thought, you know, this psalm is really speaking to right where I am. And it goes, "O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing?" I don't know. So, I don't know. Be careful. I'm not going to read the Psalms anymore.
Hey. Do you pray? John?
Father, thank you for your ability as you let us empty ourselves and feel the virtue flow from you into us.
Yeah.
Accept your healing and wholeness, and see that we are clean
as
we touch you in faith. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.